All right, let's go. All right, all right, all right. Let's go. What are we doing, Tim?
Well, we got a question from, it's Blue Blanc and Rouge 69, and he wanted to know how good was Rocket Richard. So what I think we'll do is we'll talk about the Rocket, and we interviewed him on the Grapevine Show. One of the very few, I very rarely have seen an interview with the Rocket. And
yeah, come to think of it, you're right, too. I never thought of that.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Rocket. Then we're going to run the interview with Rocket Richard. I think it's just absolutely fascinating. And so was the Rocket that good?
He was that good. And boy, when he grabbed a puck in his own end, it was a left-hand shot going down the right side. And he explained that when he cut to the left, as he went around the goal, he'd have the whole net to shoot. Boy, oh boy, when he grabbed that puck, you look out. Everybody stood up when he grabbed the puck, and you knew he was going.
And back in those days, too, like, they talk about hooking and holding and slashing. It doesn't compare, like, back when the Rocket went.
They had a guy, I forget his name now, he's a blonde-haired guy. He'd actually sit on him. I remember one time he was actually sitting on him.
Like, this is the thing with the National Hockey League. I know they have the Rocket Richard Trophy, which was good that they got it for the goal scoring. But, you know, when people say, who are the best players of all time, very rarely you hear people say the Rocket.
When he get the puck, look out.
Right, and he set the gold standard, 50 goals in 50 games.
Yeah,
he was.
Explain that.
So he got 50 goals in 50 games, and it was, what year was it? It was 1944, 1945. And it was the last year that the NHL had, that the teams played 50 games. So it was 50 games. And he was stuck on 49 goals. And he went 8 games without a goal. And then the last game against Boston.
Well, they put a checker on him.
Yeah, well, everybody's jumping on him. And he fought. He had to fight a lot.
He had an awful temper.
And he scored with like 2 minutes to go to get the 50 goals in 50 games. And, you know, the next guy to tie that was Mike Bossy.
I remember when Bossy scored the 50 goals, he was jumping around.
Yeah.
I remember.
So you think of all the great goal scorers in the league, only Bossy, Gretzky, Lemieux, and Hull have scored 50 goals in 50 games. Of all the McDavid and...
So, Tim, explain that. There's a difference between 50 goals in 50 games. Is it the player's 50 games or the team's 50 games?
No, it's got to... For it to count, it's got to be 50 goals in the team's 50 games.
Oh.
Because there are like 3 guys that have scored 50 goals in their 50 games.
Yeah.
But the team had more. Like Gary Curry had 50 goals in 50 games, but the Oilers had played 54 games, so that doesn't count. So it's got to be 50 goals.
Tim.
And here's the other thing, too, Dad, is that he got 8 points in one game, 5 goals and 3 assists, and that record stood until Darryl Sittler.
He went to the coach and told Blake, and he said, I don't know about today. He says, he has a funny story about that one, too, and that's coming up. And boy, I tell you, boy.
So, Dad, you have a story kind of connecting with that. Your first game as a Bruin was in Montreal.
Yes, and it was the strangest thing of my life, and my own one and only game. So, Hal Lakel had got his head cut, and they had a riot. And he says, "I'm not going." He's throwing a stick, and I, Jesus, this happened all the time. The National Hockey League, what a league!
He didn't want to stand at the blue line when they were honoring the Rocket.
No, he didn't even want it. So I started. So it was the strangest thing.
Kind of what happened was, and Rocket talks about this when the Richard riot and everything that goes on with that, was Hal Lako and Rocket Richard got into a big fight in Boston. And I think they said Hal Lako hit him with a stick, right?
Well, I don't know.
Allegedly. And the Rocket was trying to get at him. As you said, he had a bad temper. And the linesman was holding back, and he punched the linesman.
Yeah, he punched the linesman. And the president of the league was just waiting for him to do something like this.
Right. So Clarence Campbell suspended him for the rest of the season. I think there was like five games left. And the rest of the playoffs, right?
Yeah, rest of the playoffs.
And he's going for the championship goals.
Right. He was a few points ahead of Boom Boom Jeffrion for the point leads in the NHL. And
so I'm standing at the blue line.
Right. So Jeffrion, though, beat him by 1 point at the end of the game because he was suspended for the last four
so
or five
So what
games.
Happened was they give the Rock a standing ovation. And when Jeffrion went on and got the – he got a booed.
Own fans booed him.
The fans booed him.
Because they love the Rocket so much. They were upset that Rocket didn't win the scoring.
And the Rocket, holy, I said, boy, what a league. This must go on all the time.
So we interviewed the Rocket in around, I think it was 1983. And it's a great interview about hockey history for sure.
Right here, coming up, it is me and the Rocket. Or the Rocket and me, whatever it is.
Tonight in the Grapevine, we got the great Rocket Richard, the most exciting hockey player to ever play this game. Are you ready, Blue? Let's go see the Rocket. Come on.
Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine, the spot where you get the inside on the world of sports. And now, here he is, Mr. Don Cherry.
Right here, Dick Bettles, star of Overtime. Good show.
Yes.
Coming up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's the Bettles and Ballard show. We'll have lots of Ballard. Be back next week.
My show. Keep quiet here.
No, your show.
I see nice Jack.
You've got a star tonight.
I know.
This guy was the most fiery guy that ever played. Nobody came across the blue line like Rocket Richard. Nobody.
How about the eyes, too?
We talked about the Rocket's red glare. That's who we're talking about.
Isn't he great?
He could play.
I'll tell you. I like your jacket. It looks like a horse at a woodbine lost it, but that's all right. I don't want to say anything about your jacket.
Do you want to be taken on, or I mean...
This is a Rocket show. Keep
yes,
quiet,
sir.
Dick,
okay.
When I get an overtime. Jimmy Loftus, right there, right legend there. In his own mind. A legend in his own mind. Listen to that.
Well, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
You know, I've done many shows here with you, worked here with you.
You have?
I have never felt such excitement as there is here tonight on the
Should
Grapevine.
Should be.
Rocket Richard.
Should
now,
be.
Now, Grapes, I came over from Ireland to Montreal in 65, June.
Is that right?
Yes.
June.
And I heard that the Rocket was the most unbelievable, incredible hockey player of all time. And I was wondering what you thought of that.
Well, let me just tell you here, I have a few stats here. Even Dick Bettles will be a little surprised at that. Give me a little touch.
Have a shot
here.
At
All
us.
Right.
We got to get a better license for this place.
I
anyway.
Know. Ooh. Now, listen to this, Dick. This is when they checked in the game. You remember this? And most of the scores were like 3-2, 2-1.
1-0.
1-0. Scores like this. Now, listen to these stats. I had to write them down. He was the first guy... As everybody knows this one, first guy to score 50 goals in 50 games. Okay, that's everybody knows that one. Gretzky broke that. Listen to this now. This is just some of his records, too, by the way. 26 hat tricks. 26. Now, this is the one I like. Clutch guy. 82 game-winning goals. 82 game-winning goals. Now, listen to the playoffs. You're thrilled about this, eh, Jimmy?
Something.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, hat tricks and all that.
Oh, sure I do.
All right, okay.
That's three goals in a row.
No, it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be in a row.
That's
right.
That's a perfect.
Three goals in a game. Yeah.
Should be three in a row. However, we will not quit.
All right.
Listen to the playoffs now. It's unbelievable. 7 hat tricks in the playoffs. Listen to this one. This is a record I think will stand for a long time. 6 overtime goals in the playoffs, naturally. In 133 playoff games, 82 goals. In 9 games in the playoffs that they used to have, he scored 12 goals. Now listen to this one. I love this in overtime. 18 game-winning goals in the playoffs. I got to go over the other side here. In 1 game against Toronto in the playoffs, the score was 5-1. He scored every goal. Do you remember
all
that,
five.
Dick? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about
Indeed.
That?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Incredible.
And Don... After that game was over, they picked the three stars, and it's number one Richard, number two Richard, number three Richard.
That's the
truth. Never happened before.
Never happened again, and he's just great. And Blue has come up with a super blue movie. Wait till you see this one. Watch the fire in his eyes as he hits the blue line. Go ahead, Blue, let her go.
Maurice Richard, known as the Rocket, was a fierce competitor who, despite his overwhelming scoring talents, never won an individual scoring title. He scored 544 goals in a brilliant NHL career. Until Bobby Hull scored 54 goals in 1966, Richard had scored the most goals in a single season, 50 in 1945. His outstanding play would earn him the All-Star berth at right wing a total of 8 times. Never winning a league scoring title frustrated the Rocket. He was second 5 times and twice by a single point. A consolation, though, Richard did achieve the most goals in 5 different seasons. Perhaps Richard's best chance for a scoring title came in 1954-55. That was the year of the violent Richard riots, which rocked the streets of downtown Montreal. He led teammate Boom Boom Jeffrey on by 4 points with just 3 games left in the schedule. But in a game against the Boston Bruins, Richard's temper exploded. A sticking incident severely cut Hal Aiko, and a swift right hand clobbered linesman Cliff Thompson. Subsequently suspended by league president Clarence Campbell, Richard would lose the scoring title to Geoffrion 75 points to 74. And the ensuing riots that resulted left portions of downtown Montreal in shambles and Campbell fearing for his life. The cost of the riot was an estimated $30,000. Due to looting and vandalism, 12 policemen and 25 civilians were injured, 8 police cars, taxis, and streetcars all damaged. The Rocket truly had an influence on the hockey public in Montreal. An intense competitor, the Rocket would play for 5 more years, scoring often as the Canadiens continued to win cups with resounding consistency. The Montreal Canadiens are a club built upon a historical foundation, one that is deep-rooted in traditional pride, and a cornerstone to the celebrated franchise will always be the scoring sensation known as the Rocket, Maurice Richard.
Guys in the league getting $400,000 for 25 goals. What do you think he'd be worth today?
This guy, multi-millions. He played maybe for $25,000 a year, maybe. Tops, you'll ask him that. Hard to believe. He and Howe, the greatest two right-wingers that ever lived on this planet, being chintzily paid by Canadians and the Detroit Red Wings.
Now, wait a minute. I only got paid $4,500 when I played.
You played one game, and you played at the Montreal Forum as the NHL. You played one game in 1955.
That's right. Right there. In that
exactly,
series right
in
there.
That series.
That was it. I thought you were going to say I was overpaid.
Well, you were overpaid. You're over and overdressed now. I mean, what?
Oh, look at this guy with a checker outfit telling me I'm overpaid.
Grapes, I only made $3 a week when I started in England before I came over to Montreal.
You were worth every penny. We'll be right back with the Rocket. I'll tell you that right now. Welcome back, sir. I'm standing up for this one. I want to introduce the great Rocket Richard right here. Yo-ho! Hey, I like it.
Just like the pole.
There you go, Rocket.
How you doing, Johnny?
You look like the Pope there.
Well, I'm so used to watch him on television that I'm doing the same as he did there.
You look good. You were the Pope of hockey, I'll tell you that. Mr. Selke said that they asked him, is he God in Quebec? He said, no, but he's the Pope. So you knew what you were doing.
Now,
do you remember me in the 55 playoffs? I remember that.
Hey, Don, I only met you once in my life. I met you 4 or 5 years ago in Windsor.
In Windsor?
In Windsor, Ontario.
Oh, that's right. We got fogged in or something. Remember
that's
that?
That's right, that's right.
Yeah, you said I should be coach of the Montreal. And look at it, I wouldn't be famous now and everything.
I don't understand how you can talk about me like that. You seem to know all the record I made in the NHL, but they're all surpassed now. They're not there anymore.
Well, no, they're
just
not.
Just a few left in the playoffs.
Just a few. That 6 overtimes will never be broken, that's for sure. There's a lot there. Now, how'd you get the name Rocket?
Oh, that's a big story. Jesus.
Oh, we got lots of time. Go ahead. Just a grapevine.
No, that one, I think, was my first 2 or 3 years with Montreal Canadiens. The first year, I got hurt, and I didn't play very much. The second year, we used to practice our line, Toblake, Elmer Lack, and myself against Murph Chamberlain, Ray Getliff, and Murph Chamberlain, Ray Getliff, and Phil Watson. they were playing on one line, and we used to practice against them, and I used to score so many goals against them every practice. And they started to call me the Rocket because I was scoring too many goals against them. And the press were there, and some of the radio guys were there. And
great name.
How they started to call me Rocket.
We should. That's a great name. We should
but
do that.
I was never a Rocket, though.
Listen, well, they got a tune out about you now. Listen, those five goals you scored in the 5-1, I remember reading. I was just a little boy. I heard it on the radio, by the way. I forget who it was, Elmer Ferguson. But you, if I remember... you told Dick Irvin, it was in the book I read on you, that you didn't think you'd be able to play that night or something. You were tired.
Yes, that night, I don't think that's the five goals in the playoff, though. That five goals and three assists was against Detroit in Montreal.
Oh, is that one?
That's the night I wasn't supposed to play.
Yeah, what? Why?
Why? Because I moved my family, all my furniture, myself and my brother-in-law, the night before the game. And I didn't sleep all night. I only had a few hours rest before the game. And I went to Dick Irvin before the game. I says, I don't think I'll be able to play. He says, I'm too tired.
Jeez, you should.
Oh, he says, don't worry. He says, you'll get some goals. That's an easy game. So I went on, and I had about 8 or 9 shots at the net, and I had 5 goals and 3 assists.
Jeez, you should move furniture all the time.
That's right.
Now, you played right wing, and you were a left-handed shot. Now, I think you were one of the first. I think Cease Drillin and Brian Hextall, who just recently died, God love him, he played at left, but why? Why did you like playing that way?
Well, the reason was when I was playing junior, I was playing left wing. And I always had a tough time to go around the defenseman, turning on the left side. So when I started to play with the Canadian senior, I didn't play very long. I was there with them 2 years, but I was two major injury. In my first year with Canadian, I asked the coach, Dick Irvin, if I could play on the right wing, because I had more, it was easier for me to go on the right side, going around the defenseman or going in the corner and come back in front of the net. It was more natural.
If you cut around like
I used to cut around, yeah. And it was easier for me to skate around on the right side. And that's why everybody now, not everybody, but most
of the guys do that.
A lot of guys are doing that.
I guess they get the whole net to shoot at, too, when you cut around.
That's another thing. You got a plane, being a left-handed and playing on the right wing, you got a lot of chance to shoot backhand. And when you shoot your forehand, the angle is wider, and you got more chance to hit the net.
There's not many guys can do a backhand now, though.
Well, you see some of the guys backhand, but it's hard with that curve.
Yeah, the curve. You really had some serious injuries early in your career. It looked like maybe everybody said you had brittle bones.
I wasn't sure if I was going to play hockey after my first 2 years with the Canadian senior. That wasn't a senior group. In those days, I had a broken ankle. The second year, I had a broken wrist. And in my first year with the Canadian pro in the NHL, I had another broken ankle. So in 3 years of hockey, I played about 20 games, that's all.
But then you went a long time.
I went on for 14 seasons without missing any game.
What a line that was, the punchline. That was something.
Oh, it was great to play with Elmer and Toe Blake. And Elmer was a real digger, hard worker in the corners, and I just had to stay in front of the net, and I was scoring easy goal.
Oh, yeah, you can believe that. Somebody said that you guys, when you got in the other end, you were like mad dogs in a frenzy after the puck.
Well, that's what a lot of people said that I...
Well, Blue said that. That's my dog.
Your dog.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Now, you know, I used to see the games, really. I used to go, and I used to see guys. When I think of guys checking now, I remember you cutting over the blue line one time. You actually had a guy on top of your back. I mean, that's the way they used to check.
What do you think you would have done when you were coaching the Bruins then, if I would have played against your team?
I'd have had Donnie Marcotte right on your back.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't have had Donnie. Yeah, I could. Donnie Marcotte. Yeah, he didn't check you.
But it was nice for me. I enjoy playing that way because every time that I was a man following me, it made me work a little
bit
harder.
Fired you up, eh?
Fired me, and I was working harder then. It's a good thing that I had somebody to check me for 14, 15 years ago.
Well, listen, I know that Hal Lako, as an old hockey player, is not one of your favorites when
you
play.
Don't talk about Hal Lako. Come on.
Just so we're having fun, eh? No, but I was there when the time and when you come back that time. And I remember you were suspended. I remember in the paper you had a great big cut on your head, too. Well, just tell us about it, just quickly. You know, I mean, you don't have to...
Well, quickly, Lako hit me over the head, and I... the play kept going, and I came back at him, and I tried to swing at him, not with my stick, but When I saw the blood, that's when I saw the blood. Yeah. And I had the linesman, a guy by the name of Thompson. He was holding me from behind.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Three times he was. I had to get rid of him.
Yeah.
The third time I turned around and I hit the linesman. You know where, right?
Yeah, I know where. Got $2,500, $1,000 peace bond, I think it was, suspend you for the rest of the season in the playoffs.
Rest of the season, there was only three games left.
Yeah.
And I think the playoff was a bad suspension. I think it should have been suspended for the following season.
Yeah, that's what they do now. Like, they don't go in the playoffs.
That's right.
The riot after you got suspended was really something. Tell us about that.
Well, the riot, I didn't like it. No doubt about that. When I went in the forum that night, we were playing against Detroit Red Wings, and I went to sit right behind the goalie there, right behind the net. And after 3 minutes, was after the second period, first period, somebody threw a bomb, and that was right beside Mr. Campbell and his wife at the time. And when we came out, Mr. Campbell came into the medical room there where Bill Head was, and I tried to talk to Mr. Campbell, but I was with the president of the police in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
And he grabbed me, he says, never mind, don't talk to him. So.
And then they had a riot after?
The riot I didn't see because I stayed in the medical room.
You had to go on the radio and tell him to stop.
Well, I went
just
on...
Like the Pope.
Just like the Pope. I went on the radio the next morning and told the people that I was going to take all the blame and take my punition, and I was asking to stop everything, so... Everything was quiet after that.
You know, you said, the day you quit, I remember a couple of days before, you said that I'm going to see how I do in the scrimmage, and you scored 4 goals in the scrimmage, and you quit after. Why?
Well, I don't know the reason, because I had my mind made up with that. But I was at the training camp for a week, and it was kind of hard to follow two young guys like my brother Henry and Dickie Moore that were 15 years younger than I was.
Yeah.
So it was getting a little bit too hard. I was too heavy, and I finally decided to quit.
Right in your prime. Listen, they tell me that at the start, Henri went on for 11 championships and Stanley Cups, and he's going to be a Hockey Hall of Fame. But they invited him there just to please you. That was the story. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. No, Henri was playing with the Montreal organization. He was playing for the National Junior, and he was only 15 at the time, and he was the best hockey players on the ice.
I played against him.
Yes, probably. And when he came to training camp, it's not because I was there. I'm sure that they saw him play junior. And when he came to training camp, he was the only guy. He was the only guy that had the puck all the time.
No, wait a minute. You went and coached for 15 days in Quebec, and then after 15 days, you packed it in. Why?
Well, the reason was that I didn't like to travel too much. I had to travel from Montreal to Quebec City. And when I got there, I told them that I was going to coach just a hockey game and maybe a few practice, but I had to travel to them too much, and the owners, the president of the club, was asking me every night and every afternoon to go to different banquets for promotion. So
I know what it's like.
I finally decided that was enough for me.
Well, listen, I'm going to ask you the question I know everybody asked you. What would Gretzky do in your day? How many goals do you think he'd score?
Well, no doubt Wayne would score goals, but not as many as he's scoring right now. I don't think he would get as many points either. But I'm sure he would be in first position ever since he's in the NHL. In our days, I say.
Well, he's
a great hockey player. He's a natural, and he'll be hard to beat. If he doesn't get any injury, he's going to beat all the record in the league.
I'd like to see you on right wing and him.
I would have loved to play with him, for sure.
Well, listen, we're going to go over to talk to our friend Jimmy and Dick, and that ought to be a treat. So don't go away. The Rocket be right back.
Pleasure. Real pleasure to see you.
I know you've always wanted to be on TV with him, but go ahead.
I'm sure a lot of the fans would like to know this as well. How you got the number 9?
Holy geez, that's a long time ago. That was when I started playing with Montreal Canadiens. Not in my first year, the second year. My wife was pregnant. Pregnant? Is that the way you say it? Pregnant.
Having a baby. Yeah. Having a baby.
Having
your baby.
Gonna have a baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was out playing an exhibition game in Cornwall. And after the game, I got a phone call that my wife had the baby girl, 9 pounds. And before that, Dick Irvin asked me, if you got a baby, just let me know.
Yeah.
How much he weighs and everything. So he says, your baby weighed 9 pounds, so I'll give you the number 9, because number 9 was Charlie Sander was used to play with Canadian, but he left a few days before. He didn't stay for training camp.
Isn't that great?
And that's how I got my number 9.
Next. Every great hockey player after that, right, Dick, wanted 9, and Gretzky wanted 99.
That's right.
Go ahead. You know Dick Bettles. Yeah,
number 9 was Howe and Hull after Rocket. Let Morris this question. Did you ever make up with Clarence Campbell before he died with respect to the Richard incident of 1955?
No doubt, Dick. I went to see him when he died. I saw him, too, in the hospital once. Once I went visiting some patient there at the same hospital. I saw President Campbell there. And there's no doubt that President Campbell was always a good fan of mine. He always spoke well about the Rocket Richard. But I was still mad at him because he suspended me for the playoff. That's something I didn't like, so I'll never forget that.
And cost you the scoring title.
Cost me a lot of money, too.
Isn't he something? The great Rocket Richard! Thank you, Rocket, for coming.
So that was a great interview, and I mean anybody that's interested in hockey history, that was something about the Rocket. And I forgot the one thing to mention, that Dick Bettles was the guest, the other guest, and he was really good. And Dick Bettles was the broadcaster at CHCH TV Channel 11 in Hamilton, and he used because there was no TSN or Sportsnet back there. And at the end of the
when I first came here from Colorado,
yeah. And he at the end of the news, local newscast, he would do a 20 or 25 minute
20 at least 20 to 20 minutes
wrap up of sports.
Yes, and he was a very dapper dresser too.
He was
wore a hat all the time.
Someday I'll go on him. And he loved the Rocket.
Yeah, you could see that. So before we go on, I just want to do a quick thank you. We'd like to thank our sponsor, NorthStarBets.com. It's Canadian-owned and the best place to play in Canada. There's everything you're looking for, slots, live dealers, sportsbook with built-in sports betting insight and analysis. And NorthStar Bets has an exclusive offer for our listeners. If you sign up now and deposit with the promo Cherry, NorthStarBets.com will match your first bet up to $100, and you get 100 bonus spins on the big wheel, and it's not available in Ontario, and limited time offer.
As we end, I want to talk about the Rocket's funeral. Ron and I, we got invited, and I was walking in, and this lady grabbed up and grabbed my hand and shook my hand and everything. I said, who is that? He says, that's Susan Trombley. They was going to get you fired.
Right.
She went around. Anyhow, we as we were leaving, the head of the church up there,
priest, but it was probably the cardinal, I would bet.
It was the cardinal. He says, let's do it the way the Rocket would want it to be. Let's go, La Vive la Rocket, Vive la Rocket, and the whole church would Vive la Rocket.
It was like a state funeral. Like, it was broadcast on CBC. Like live.
Oh, it was.
It was, and it was like they had his casket at the center ice at the Forum, yeah. And like thousands upon thousands of people went through it. I mean, I don't think people realize how much the Quebec people love the Rocket.
The Rocket was the most loved guy ever, and Beliveau was next, and the Rocket was the guy. I always remember the Cardinal saying, let's do it the way the Rocket would like it be done. Let's not be mourners and stuff and everything. Let's go. Let the Vive la Rocket. So we, as they were going out, the whole church was going, Vive la Rocket, Vive la Rocket. Boy, I'll tell you, it brought tears to your eyes.